From The Conversation, this is Politics with Michelle Grattan, a podcast where Michelle discusses the issues of the day with The Conversation's politics team.
Hi, my name's Amanda Dunn. I'm the Politics and Society Editor for The Conversation, and I'm speaking with Michelle Grattan. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Amanda.
Michelle, we've heard today that Prince Charles, no less, has urged Scott Morrison to attend the COP26 climate talks in Glasgow next month, even though the Prime Minister has previously sounded his reluctance to go. Do you think this will be the spur that he needs to get him over there?
Well, certainly he now seems to be changing his position. I'm sure he would deny that it's anything to do with the prince, who has incidentally described the meeting as a last chance saloon, which is a colourful way of emphasising how high the stakes are for the conference. But what the Prime Minister's office is now saying is that Scott Morrison is more likely than not to go. It doesn't seem a completely definitive position yet, but it's certainly on the way to one that's quite different from the sort of sentiment that was coming out a week or so ago when he was talking about the difficulties of going. The New South Wales government, incidentally, has indicated that it'll make the quarantine arrangements as easy as possible, and that was one factor that the Prime Minister was giving in being reluctant to go previously. But he has been under a lot of pressure, and I think that also he has become increasingly confident that he can secure the deal with the Nationals, with Barnaby Joyce, that he needs to get a credible climate position to take to that conference.
Okay, and how close are the Liberals and Nationals themselves to a consensus on the government's climate position?
It does seem that a deal appears likely between the Prime Minister and Barnaby Joyce within the Nationals. I think that there's a majority that is willing to be pragmatic, and provided the terms and conditions are adequate and the protections in such a deal for the regional areas, a majority would be willing to accept a deal. There is, however, some resentment within the National Party, who think that the Prime Minister is not treating the party with due respect, that it's being run over by Scott Morrison, and there's certainly some unhappiness about the way this is being handled. Now, the Nationals are meeting on Sunday, and they will consider whatever package comes out of the negotiations.
Meanwhile, the IBAC hearings are underway in Victoria. IBAC is the Victorian anti-corruption body, and they've already seen one state minister, Luke Dennellan, resign from cabinet. Federal Labor MP Anthony Byrne, who is also from Victoria, has admitted to branch stacking. Presumably this puts Anthony Albanese in a difficult position, Michelle.
Well, a very difficult position because, of course, he has been making much of the need for an anti-corruption body at the federal level, and I think people are looking for consistency from him. And he was asked about the evidence from Anthony Byrne, and today he said, oh, well, I can't preempt IBAC's discussions, its findings. So he was pushing off any position into the indefinite future. Now, this inquiry, of course, will go for a very long time. And I think this is a very hard position for the opposition leader to maintain. Anthony Byrne has been very explicit about being involved in branch stacking, but he has also been a whistleblower on this issue. He says that he has wanted to see this cracked down upon. Incidentally, the branch stacking is not illegal in itself. What he was involved in was paying for people's memberships, but it's certainly against Labor Party rules. Now, what Anthony Albanese has said is that he, as leader, had got intervention in Victoria, so the branch has been put into administration, and that means that you don't have rank and file pre-selections, and the administrators run the show. But the thing is that it's one thing to say, well, I acted to get the branch into better shape. But if that isn't carried through to specific actions, then it seems futile and rather hypocritical. So I think he is under pressure to say that Anthony Byrne should not be the candidate for Holt at the next election, and maybe take even more drastic action against him. But at the moment, as I say, he's really trying to just push all this off into the future. But I think that'll be pretty difficult.
All right, we will watch and see what happens. Michelle, great to talk with you as always. Thank you.
Thanks, Amanda.
Our theme music is by Blue Dot Sessions. You can find more podcasts from The Conversation on our website at theconversation.com.